I think there's a huge issue here.
I can't... Yeah, I struggle with it, to be honest.
It's like walking a tightrope.
You might feel it's the right thing to do.
How I should say something.
There is a conflict.
I would tend to check that.
I'm muddled on this.
I really struggle with it.
Yes, Monday is as good a day as any to ask, are you bored at work? Are you scared to take a leap into the unknown to do something different? Because maybe you're weighed down by a mortgage that needs feeding or endless other things. Today's Modern Dilemma is one for you, and it's from Michael, and boy, has it sparked a beautiful conversation on our Facebook page. He writes, I'm in my early 40s and work in marketing. I've been at the same organisation for around 20 years. The job is fine, the pay is okay, and the job is very secure, but I'm bored. And there is no sense of anything changing. My department really needs to be reorganised to better reflect all the massive changes in the industry, but my managers aren't keen to restructure. I have this sense of life passing me by and not having the right skills to move on. I have a mortgage and a partner, but no kids. By nature, I shy away from risk, but should I try something new and risk losing a good salary and security or stay in a job I increasingly don't like until my retirement, still another 20 years away? And I can hear the chorus of, that's me, right across the country this morning. I have a feeling Michael might have answered his own question. And joining us is philosopher Patrick Stokes, Dr. Patrick Stokes from Deakin University, and neuropsychologist Dr. Kylie Ladd. Welcome to you both.
Morning, Natasha.
Hi, Natasha.
I think this is a great one, and you should see the conversation happening on our Facebook page. Kylie, what's your reaction to what really is one of the great big existential and practical dilemmas of many lives?
Oh, look, it is, but I have to say my gut reaction, the minute I read this, and I haven't looked at the Facebook page, but I imagine it's echoed there, is don't die wondering. I'm definitely from the don't die wondering school. Dreams are itches that need to be scratched, and Michael has to do something about this. I can't bear the thought. I don't know Michael, but I can't bear the idea of him sitting there unfulfilled and bored and yearning for another 20 years. So, look, I think he really needs to do something.
But Carly, his fear is very real too. I mean, finding new work isn't easy. And often you can go through that whole process, you get lucky, get another job, and actually job is just as boring. So it's not all about work all the time.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And look, that's why I would say that Michael, I do think Michael needs to do something, but I don't think he should just, you know, walk into his boss's office and resign right now. I think Michael needs to start thinking about what he wants to do, and Michael needs to be making a plan. And look, this is probably going to sound terrible, but it sounds like he's in an unfulfilling job where he's got a bit of time on his hands. He can use that time to start planning what his next step is.
That's great. I can hear managers around Australia groaning.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I work for myself, can't you tell?
Yes. Dr. Patrick Stokes, I mean, this idea of us expecting so much from our work, that it should be uber fulfilling, that's a rightful expectation, yeah?
Well, I don't know. It's in some ways a fairly modern expectation. I mean, it's often pointed out that it depends how far back you want to go. Your medieval peasant didn't really expect to find hoeing a field to be particularly fulfilling. It's just what they had to do.
How do you know?
Yes, true. I haven't been a medieval peasant. I will confess that here and now. But it's an interesting question. In some ways, we no longer look to salvation from the heavens. We look to or in a life to come. We look for salvation these days in our jobs and our relationships. We expect that these are the two things that will make us completely and utterly happy, that will somehow sort of complete us and will be the thing that makes everything work out okay in the end, will make the whole thing have made sense in the end. And, okay, fine, if that's the way we're looking at things, that's the way we're looking at things.
But do you think part of that is that so much of people's lives are taken up by work now? And so, rightfully, we should expect that it should be rewarding.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, you know, 50 years ago we had economists saying that with advances in technology we'd all be working 15-hour weeks. Well, right. Can't help but noticing that hasn't panned out.
Dream on.
It's a good point. We do. We do spend a huge amount of our lives at work. But, yeah, I do think we expect more in the way of fulfilment, and that's okay, but that means that we have to change the way we think about our working lives. And if we're going to apply that what you'd call soteriological, so thinking about salvation. If we're going to apply salvation thinking to our careers, well, then we need to actually start thinking in that way about our careers, thinking about, you know, is this a career that if I died right now, it would all be worth it?
You've gone through this, I think.
Yeah, I had a situation a couple of years ago where I just finished my PhD and I was doing a non-academic job that was fun. I worked with great people and it was all right. And I could have stayed in that and I could have stayed in Melbourne and I would have had a nice permanent job that would have involved cranking out spreadsheets and stats, which I didn't have any particular passion for. Or I could do the risky thing and go overseas and try and string together a series of tenuous research positions and try and break into academia, which is not the easiest thing to do.
The hard path either way.
Yeah, and it was, and somehow hope that we could find a way back. And we got really, really lucky and we did manage to find a path back home. Not everyone does. So, but this is why I'm with Kylie. I think Michael just needs to jump. But if you're going to jump, you do need to do some work beforehand to make sure that you're capable of sticking the landing.
Yeah, Patrick, I noticed you said we. Kylie, one of the striking things I've seen in couples is that you might have one member of the duo absolutely craving and willing to take change and see the fact that they're in a relationship as an opportunity to take a risk, whereas the other half are anxious, conservative, scared of risk, really want to keep the mortgage on track. Do you see those tensions playing out?
Look, yes, I do. And Michael mentions he has a partner, but he says nothing about what his partner thinks about this, which is either a big oversight or very, very telling. Look, it definitely has to be. If you're in a relationship and you've got a mortgage between you as well, to be practical, it is definitely something that has to be agreed on, I guess, or at least discussed by both parties. Look, I'm a little bit similar to Patrick. I left psychology. I didn't leave psychology. I still work in psychology part-time, but I decided to give that up, to give up a full-time, you know, very secure and, you know, on track for higher things position 10 years ago to take up my dream of writing novels. And it took me probably about 5 or 6 years to get published. I'm very grateful that I am. But what I want to say in relation to that is that I couldn't have done that without my husband being on board. Now, my husband's taken a big step back from his work in the last year. And do you know what? I don't think he would have even brought that to me to consider him taking that huge step back without having done it for me a decade earlier and knowing that, you know, not that I owed him, but knowing that we were in a relationship where those sorts of things were negotiable. So we've been very lucky that we have been. And it's clearly very important that Michael's partner is on side with him and that he discusses this with her. I'm a little bit nervous that he hasn't mentioned what she thinks about this.
Yeah, or he, as the case may be.
exactly, yes.
I mean, Patrick, a long lens on life is something that you encourage people to have, I think. I mean, people talk about 10-year plans and 5-year plans. We can get really stuck in the kind of immediate moment and see that long lens as a sort of path of uncertainty and fear. How do you transcend that?
Well, it depends really on what Michael wants out of his career, in a way. If all he wants is, I'm getting bored, I don't want to keep doing this same thing for the next 20 years. Well, that's one thing, fine. On the other hand, if he wants to say, I want a career that creates an identity for me that I can look at and say, yes, that's me, I'm happy with that, this has been a good life, then what he needs to do is some of that kind of salvation thinking I was talking about, which is kind of like, okay, instead of, we're in the middle of the stream of life. Now imagine that you're flying above your life in a hot air balloon, you're looking down, you can see the shape of the stream, you can see where it starts and where it ends and how it meanders around. In a way, what we have to try and do when we're trying to think about the value of our overall lives and the sort of trajectory of our lives is to sort of simultaneously be up in the balloon and in the middle of the river, simultaneously looking at the structure of the whole thing while being very much in the present moment.
That's overwhelming sort of thinking for some people.
It is. Yeah, that's difficult. There's no question about that.
Scary even, Patrick.
For sure, but it is
because it signals death.
Terrifying.
It signals death is somewhere at the end of that river.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But, I mean, it is anyway. We are always being towards our death, as Heidegger put it, or at least retirement in this particular case. I mean, yeah, it is scary. Of course it's scary. But that said, as existential problems go, it's a pretty first world problem, and I think we do need to sort of remember that. This stuff does terrify us, and it should terrify us.
Well, I just don't like that term, you know, because this is a really, everyone all over the world has angst about their work and whether they want to keep doing it and the drudgery of it. And I think this is a universally human story, regardless of whether you're in first world, third world, developing world, developed world, however we describe those dichotomies. Yeah.
It is, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that no one in this story is in danger of starvation.
But that fear is real because it's essentially a human fear.
Yes, absolutely, it's real, and it needs to be acknowledged and dealt with accordingly.
Kylie, what about where to start? Because a number of people on our Facebook page have said, 12 months of budgeting and planning, then run. Sandy Horn wrote a beautiful comment. At age 46, I went to university after leaving school at 15 and having no formal education. It was simply terrifying. I had to sacrifice a great deal of income. I took subjects that really appealed to me, but I had an uneasy feeling that I may be making a big mistake since nobody wants to employ historians. However, I followed my heart and enjoyed every minute of my university life, and I'm now working as a research assistant at a uni. Never been happier. Sometimes you've got to take a risk. Amazing adventures await. Training is an option, isn't it?
Oh, look, yes, it is. First, I just want to say good on you, Sandy. Well done for doing that. My own mother left school at 15 herself and then decided at the age of 42 she wanted to study medicine. Went back and did year 11 and then year 12 and then 7 years of medical school. So I'm certainly, she's probably one of the ones who's most made me an advocate for chasing dreams. She didn't graduate until she was 50, but she is 70 now. Sorry, Mum, but you are. And she's still working 3 or 4 days a week and has, patients love her, and she's always got a big waiting list, and she's doing exactly what she always wanted to do. So well done, Sandy. And I think that's great.
But did your mum have to sacrifice?
Nearly her marriage. Oh, goodness, I'm getting close to the bone here, and it's really lucky she's in Perth, so she's not listening at the moment. Look, there were sacrifices to be made on the home front. There definitely were. I'm the oldest of three, and my sister and I took over running the house. She paid us too. We weren't slaves. We did all the cooking and cleaning and shopping because she just needed to study full-time. Medicine's a very... There's not much room for manoeuvre in medicine. You do have to work, and Mum, being older, needed longer and more time because she was out of the study habits. So there were sacrifices at the time. That said, I don't think anything was sacrificed permanently. And as I said, she's very happy in the situation now.
Patrick, I wonder too whether you need a third party here to step in, like a counsellor, a careers counsellor, and a few people are making that suggestion on the website. Some people go, oh no, that's not for me, that's for high school students, but perhaps it would help.
I think that's very wise. Very wise indeed. I mean, if Michael needs to work out what the next step is, well, he's, as he says, he's been in the one company for 20 years. He may not be able to articulate for himself what that next step should be. And so, getting an outside set of eyes can be a very wise thing to do. It can also be a very deflationary thing to do. It's quite possible somebody will say, well, actually, you're not in a particularly good position to go and do something else right now. But, I mean, that's fine. It's better to know than, as Kylie said, it's better not to die wondering.
Is it better to know, I wonder? No, well, that's right. But there's always an option, I suspect. Look, seize the day. Thank you for joining us, both of you, Dr. Kylie Ladd and Dr. Patrick Stokes.
Thanks, Natasha.
Yeah, and do have a look at the Facebook page. Some lovely, a lovely conversation there that really segs with what you've both said. Terrific to have you back on. And Michael, I urge you to look at the Facebook page as well. And Dr. Kylie Ladd, neuropsychologist and author, as you heard, and Dr. Patrick Stokes, a philosopher, as you heard, at Deakin University. Both, in some sense, have taken risks in their own lives to pursue what really lights their inner fire. Maybe you've done that. Love to hear from you.